What's up, Friend Zone Pod? We're so excited to be here today and let you guys know that we are partnering with Target for the Friend Zone Pod and Getting Grown Pod Cookout Family Reunion. That's right. You can catch us this Saturday, July 24th, on the Loudspeakers Network YouTube channel, where we will be live streaming all the shenanigans and fun that will ensue when we get together and do what we do. And it's all presented by Target.
It's going to be so cute. We have music, surprise guests, actually. We have food that Jay's going to be preparing. Kia has some stuff up her sleeve. Of course, you know me and the guys always have stuff up our sleeve. So we're very excited to chill with you. Target just wanted to capture that summer feel, that friend and community feel. And what better way to do that than to put us in a house together to have some fun for 2 hours and then live stream it and share that experience with our listeners. Asante,
so make sure you come out and have fun with us. Come have fun. Come kick it. We're going to be answering questions. We're going to be talking to each other about all the things that we talk about when we get together. And you all will be able to witness it and have fun and join in. That's going to be at youtube.com/loudspeakersnetwork, and you're all invited. Again, that's Saturday, July 24th at 6 p.m. Be there or be there.
Welcome to the Friend Zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the Friend Zone.
Let's start the show. I'm in the zone.
What's up? What's up?
What's up?
Westward to Martin, but welcome to the Friend Zone, your weekly look into all things mental health, mental wellness, and mental hygiene. This week, sponsored by the good folks at Target, because who wants a musty brain? I know I don't. Hey, friend. Hey, Asante. How you doing?
Good. Raising the roof.
Right. It's a beautiful day. Like Dustin said, thanks to Target for supporting the Friend Zone and sponsoring this special bonus episode with limited commercial interruption. That's right. Ooh, we're coming to you with an extra episode this week, thanks to our fam over at Target. And we decided that we are going to share our memories and favorite parts of summer. I know whenever we get into our nostalgia bag, the listeners usually love it because they go on down that road with us. So this time the theme is all things summer, funny stories, good memories, and just what on earth were you doing growing up for your summer? So I actually have a question. I want to kick it off. Did y'all go to camp?
Yes.
Were y'all one of those kids where your parents sent you off to camp?
Every time I think about summer, all I think about is camp. Like, all I think about are the different camps I got to go to, the different vacations at camp that we went on, or like trips that we would go on, the snacks at camp, the snacks taken to camp, like the fashions. All I can think about is the fucking
the fashions
faculty.
You say.
The fashions, you, please get into that. What did those look like in your time?
Well, you know, everybody
time?
Was young. I remember the little girls running around with the beads and the bobos in their hair. And you know what just randomly came back in style, like I feel like a few years ago?
What?
The girls had the clear little jelly sandals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I
those
love
are back
those.
In full effect.
Those I used sandals, to love those.
You know, the boys, we had like our cargo looking strap sandals, like they were with the Velcro. That's what the guys had. The girls, y'all had like the cute little glittery jellies. I was like, oh, damn.
Oh, the glittery jellies. You're taking me back. You know I had them.
Since we on Fashion In, what was your favorite like summer accessory as a child?
Summer accessory? Probably like, I like designer swim trunks with like the t-shirts to go with them that you wear that's like an outfit in the summer. We would do that back in the day. So, you know, you go to like whatever the department store was, you know what I'm saying? You would go and you get, you know, the popular stuff, and you would wear like the swimming trunks with the t-shirt and the bright colors, and you match
that's
your sneakers
so cute.
With it. We would do that, and my cousins and I would dress alike when we would go to like amusement parks in the summertime. We would always get a new outfit for that and literally go matching, and you couldn't tell us nothing.
So
nothing.
Cute. I think for me, if you remember, little girls, most of us are always in our bathing suits with our pants, like with our jeans, our skirts. You just always had your bathing suit, whether it was the one piece, the little two piece, and then you throw on regular clothes with it, and that was like your summer look. But I did love the glittery jellies. Now, the funny thing is my mom did not like them because she had like bad PTSD from when she was little. And she said that was her only pair of shoes. And it would be like 100+ degrees in the Dominican Republic. Ooh. And she said that it would stick to your skin because it was so hot, you know, like the plastic of it.
Yeah,
like it would literally
forget
stick.
Forget it, friend.
I'll never forget. I came home with a pair and she was like, no. She's like, not in this house.
I know.
Well,
that's
shout
right.
out to the jellies. They're so
you
cute.
Know,
such
randomly
a cute retro comeback.
One of my favorite, well, I don't even know if I can say this was just like my summertime, but I love a good fanny pack. Like fanny packs always came in. Right. That's why I was like, I don't know if this is just a summer thing.
I hated
like,
fanny packs.
I love them. But I wear like leather ones now and I don't wear it around my waist. I usually wear it like
across
over my
chest.
So that's, you know, how you kind of flip it as an adult.
See, I always wore like when I was younger, like these neon, like rectangular-ish fanny packs. I saw that I saw that they were always like this oval long type, and I was like, damn, I always wore these like rectangular utility ass fanny packs. I guess that's why I was always lit, because it always had like pockets in there, but it was off your body but not too distracting, whereas the big fanny pack looked like this big worm on top of you. It was weird. But one of my favorite accessories randomly was the swimming shoes. I don't know if you remember those, like they were like the rubbery shoes and they had like a net over them. I saw people wearing them. I guess they were surfers or something one time. I was like, what are those? And they were like the swim shoes. Like they would wear them whenever they were in the water, or their beach shoes. And you could literally just wear them into the water. And white people, they would just randomly wear them out. And I was like, why are y'all wearing these out here in places? But whenever I was in summer camp, I was always like, I got to get the water shoes because we're going to the water park today. So the water shoes was always one of my favorite accessories outside the
water. Shoes were definitely a big deal and also a rare find. You couldn't just get those at your local
sneaker store. I don't
remember those.
Yeah.
Oh, I definitely do. They were, you know, the major sneaker brands or whatever. Mm-hmm. Each had a version. Now, the fanny pack, dialing back to the fanny pack debacle, because that's really what it is. See, I was a runner. I was a track star. And so I like to be outside, like pounding the pavement, running, racing, playing games and stuff. And that fanny pack used to slow me down. So I loved how it looked because, you know, it was another chance to be fly.
Right.
But it just that flipping and flopping and smacking down on my pelvis, it wasn't rolling like that for me. It just was not going to work because I like to move around outside, you know. And one of my most favorite things to do, there was in my parents' backyard, there was a section where the trees kind of created like this little, I don't know what it was, but it essentially like my parents had cut the bottom section of like the trees off. So it was just like the tree trunk, and then it was the larger trees up above. So
how
it created
pretty.
Like a little alcove.
Yeah.
And we would go in there and like create just, I don't know, anything wherever your imagination would run, that's where it would take you. And
how
I love
cute.
That. I love going outside, y'all.
I know what else I love about our generation. We were outside, okay?
We was outside. Mm-hmm. When you would see some cement, because like you would see cement work or whatever outside and get a stick and carve your initials in it so that when it dried, you was forever. You know what I mean? Like in that sidewalk, we would love doing stuff like that.
Or doing that on the trees. Sorry, trees. I'm sure you guys didn't like when we would carve our initials in your bark.
They got a tattoo.
Right. The tree's like, I ain't asked for no tat now.
Wait, but dialing it back even further, because Asante mentioned going to camp. I only went to camp one summer, and I think it was like for 3 weeks. And it was cool, but I felt a little bit overwhelmed by it because it's just like activities. You know, I'm a tourist. There's a big part of me that just likes to lay around.
You ain't with all that.
I'm a lady of leisure. That's how I like to put it. And so even as a kid, I was like, this is too much activity. Like they had us hiking, going for runs. You'd go swimming. I mean, honestly, looking back, it was really awesome for a kid to have that access. But it was also really expensive. So I think we only got to do it one summer. And then after that, we would do the day camps. Remember, they had the day camps where your parents would just drop you off for basically the same schedule as school and then come pick you up in the afternoon. And you do all the activities, but you wouldn't actually be, like, away at the camp. Is that how your camp was, Asante? Were you away for,
weeks?
Oh,
yeah, no, I ain't do no. We see, oh, We ain't do no away camps. Now there could have been.
Okay, you had the day camp then.
Yeah, yeah. It was like a program that covered like a month and a half or something, like a 6 to 8 week program. So it's my mom dropping me off, and because she still had to go to work in the summertime. So it's like, instead of school, you going to summer camp. But it wasn't no. She ain't shipped me up. Now she probably dreamed about shipping me off for real, but we wasn't doing all that. Now see, the day camp, that was cool because it was like, for me, I had a whole nother set of friends outside of school, or you got to meet people from other places. And don't let you meet somebody that you real cool with from your school at the other camp. Oh my God. That's when it was lit. But the away camp, I think when I was in like middle or high school for a class trip once, we got to go to one of those cabins and stuff. I was not feeling that.
What?
I was not. You know what it was? Because we
did the same, actually.
I think because when we were out, it was cold. Like the activities were cool. Like we had to do the bonfire, which was cool. We got to like do the hiking, and like the guy was trying to teach us how to like tell our directions and stuff. That was cool. But it was too damn cold. And then he wanted to teach lessons at times. And I was like, you should have taught this at the beginning, or you need to wrap this up for the end when we back at the camp. Like, you can't be doing this while we out here. But yeah, I couldn't do that. What about you, Dustin? Did you ever do like camp, away day, all of it, any of it?
Nah. My parents didn't play that. First of all, that was too much mixing and mingling.
It was. It absolutely was.
And then you have to remember, I had siblings.
Yeah, you had siblings.
Friend.
I had my first kiss at sleepaway camp.
Well, forget. So I can get back to what I was talking about. I want to hear about this smooch. I want to hear the smooch story. So come on, friend.
It was such classic friend that I almost love it. It was in a barn, and we were playing spin the bottle. I mean, can you
not a rustic kiss? You had a rustic first kiss.
Can you get any more friend than that? Sitting on hay in the middle of the barn.
In the middle of the barn.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was a boy I had liked for a long time. And, you know, we were super young. We were, what, in sixth grade? So it wasn't, like, anything serious. But we had a little crush on each other. And then we were playing spin the bottle, and the bottle came strategically placed between us.
I know you was like...
I was like, yeah, buddy. And then and then we
turned around and hit that breath spray.
You remember those sprays that made your breath smell worse and just
worse.
Sweet.
That was the stankiest mint I have ever smelled in my life. Make your breath smell like mint boo-boo. I can't believe that. Yeah.
But it was awesome because that's how I had my first kiss at sleepaway camp in sixth grade. Shout out to Justin. He's still my peoples to this day. And we dated for like a year and some change after that too. So, you know, I mean, hey, it worked out to my benefit. No, but it was super cute.
Right.
But the sleepaway camp too, one thing that I forgot to mention was it was a farm upstate in the Catskills. And part of our daily chores was waking up, getting the eggs from the chicken coop, milking the cows, shearing the sheep. And then part of your exams at the end was when you sheared the sheep, you had to actually make something with the wool in the textiles room with a loom, like putting the wool into the loom. And then part of your exam was making something, whether it was a scarf, a blanket, a sweater. And I made, if I remember correctly, I made a blanket. But looking back, I'm like, what awesome skill set, though, to have been given.
You made a blanket, so you was warm, but the sheep was freezing.
The sheep was in the barn like, oh,
the sheep,
okay.
The sheep like, you really gonna do anything?
Look, the sheep was in the barn sitting on hay, okay, at that point.
I wish every kid had access to experiences like that.
I think that's what the difference is. Like the sleepaway camp, you supposed to learn something, whereas the day camp, you just supposed to get worn out. Like I think the parents just need like a break.
And it's glorified babysitting.
Oh my God.
That's really what it is.
One of the things that I did love, because Dustin, when you said outside, because you know, at the day camp, they had you on the program. So it's like you come in, you do the little daily warm up or whatever, then they talk to you and try to teach you something. Then they
let you get
go outside.
That juice and what did they give you in the morning? Juice and what?
With that Nature Valley granola bar or something.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
that
I hate it.
dusty snack. Granola bar.
I hate that damn thing. You know what's crazy?
So dry.
I be eating it today though. I be grabbing every now and then, breaking them up a little bit, being like, "Well, you know, I need brain food."
Let me be on the airplane. That'd be saving your life. It takes like a whole Thanksgiving spread.
Oh,
a little cracker. You'd be like,
every little grain of the granola tastes like something new. It's like, oh my gosh, savory. I loved going outside and us choosing like what game we were gonna play. One of my favorite.
Oh yeah.
One of my favorite. Okay, we're gonna have to just keep talking favorites.
Memories.
What is y'all's favorite like outside game y'all play?
Curb. I don't know if y'all played curb, but what we would do is we would stand on opposite sides of the street with a basketball, and literally like you would act like you were shooting the basketball, but you were aiming at the curb on the street.
I remember that.
And it would bounce. When you hit the curb right, the ball would bounce a certain way. And this is where it really gets good, right? Because in my hood, the rules was, like, you know, that was a point. Every time you did that, you know, and it hit the curb across the street, that was a point. Then if a car was coming down the street and you were able to shoot it over that car and hit the curb, that means you automatically won the game. So we would be like, over the car is game. So that was it, like... That was my favorite.
Oh,
and then also any sort of like relay race, running, crab walking,
me too,
skipping,
me too,
all
me
of
too.
That. I would literally obliterate the neighborhood.
Me too.
I was Sha'Carri.
Me too.
and I still kind of am today. but that I would run outside. I loved that.
Oh, I miss that. I forget the name of the game we used to play. What was it called? It was kind of like where you would go hide. But obviously, as we were older, we made it a different name. Stop. It wasn't because we didn't call it hide and go seek. It was called something. Oh man, I can't remember the name. It'll come to me. Maybe it'll come to me. But it was like a older version of hide and go seek, and I used to love that because we would be hiding inside of the bodegas. It'd be impossible to find people, and it was cool because everyone from the block would let us. You know, like it wasn't an issue if you hid in the lobby of someone's project. In those bottom steps of the brownstones, like there was just
that's
so
what
much
I call
pressure.
Community.
Yeah, that is, okay,
hilarious. I miss those that's days, community. Man.
One of my favorite games that. When I was younger was kickball. Like,
oh, yes. I love kickball.
Like, I actually want us to do an adult like I want us to go get
pick
a permit
teams.
In Central Park or Prospect, whichever big park. And get all of our friends, even like our influencer peers, and just have like a game day where we play kickball together. Wouldn't that be so fun?
I've been
talking
about that.
Yes, field day. We have to have field day. We got to get shirts made, color coordination. It got to be a whole thing. Like,
and we're not just playing kickball. We're playing dodgeball.
We're doing all the games. We're going to make a whole little play, run a play.
I'm throwing that ball so hard.
We got to get entertainment, too. We got to be like... We got to have it like a whole program. Like, there'll be like games, entertainment, ooh, like food.
And Duck Goose. Y'all remember Duck Goose? I swear to God, I was like the national champion. I am in the registers, okay, for Duck Goose. I was all state. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm telling you, I would tear it. Ooh, you could goose me if you want to. I'm telling you, I'll be out, man.
Well, I'm going to have to do some training in the park for this because I want this. Like,
me too. I'm stretching right now.
Like, that's why you don't want to be that older person that's like, in my day, we used to play outside with sticks. But it does make me sad when I see kids so much more interested in technology than in being outside.
Because
I'm like, they're missing out. You know, they're missing out on the fun.
Weirdos.
And the fun, and it was good for your body too. Remember how exhausted you would come home? You'd be all tan and sweaty with the tan lines of your t-shirts and stuff.
Absolutely.
Hair sweated out.
I used to come home gray by the time I'd be out in the sun so much. And don't let me be, I remember my aunt had got a pool, and this was my cousin that I grew up with, like we were siblings almost. And so his mom and dad got a pool in their backyard.
That's the best. That friend that had
the pool friend.
Hours and come in the house literally gray. Seriously, like from being out in that water and in the sun like that. And I can hear my aunt, God rest her soul, Lord have mercy. I can hear her voice now. You're coming in the house just gray. Get in there and wash up, put on some love.
You know what? I learned how to swim at camp. Like the camp I went to, because I had gone to the same camp for like years. Actually, I think we told, I said this on here before, but friend, you remember at Essence, that festival where we ran into that girl and I like cried and stuff?
Her daddy ran,
her daddy ran the camp. And so like, I remember learning how to swim at that camp. And like, when I got older, I had to help some of the other kids learn how to swim. Like that was so fun. Well, first of all, the swimming pool, the public swimming pool was not fun. That was not fun.
Oh,
but like,
no, no.
Learning
not,
how to
not
swim.
Not in New York. Mm-mm.
I remember my mama and them's friend had a pool. My parents' friends had a pool. And my mama and them wouldn't let us get I remember my mama was like, "You getting in that pool. Water look like iced tea."
Oh, my God. So shaky. No.
We couldn't get in it. And now, speaking of Essence Fest, so that same uncle and aunt who had the pool, remember I told you we'd be out there for hours?
Mm-hmm.
He was an artist. He used to paint beautiful, like, canvas paintings or whatever and sold prints. And so he was successful with the art, like, really successful. And Essence Festival used to send him down there every summer to, like, be a part of the convention center and, like, the Essence art section and sell his artwork in Essence. And so we were little kids, like 12, 13, 11, you know what I'm saying? And we would be, like, the staff. So we would go down there every summer. That's why New Orleans has such a special place in my heart.
Yeah, that's different.
Because I have so many fond memories.
Oh,
we would go down there and, like, pack the tubes. We would roll the prints and pack the tubes. And they, my uncle and them would pay us, but we'd really just be down there having fun. And that was one of my most fondest summer memories because I would get away from my parents, you know what I'm saying? And I would be out of town with my my uncle and my cousin, and we'd be working. It just felt really adult, you know what I mean, as a kid.
How cute.
On purpose.
Oh
yeah, I love that. That's one of my most fond summer memories. Like, seriously.
I love Would your parents send you away for the summer sometimes, like to other relatives? I know for those of us who live up north, your family would either send you back down south to live with your more extended family, or you'd go to the Caribbean or wherever part of the diaspora. So I'd love hearing stories of where your parents sent you. Is there somewhere they sent you?
Hell yeah. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm trying to kill. I didn't mean to say that. But yes, my father's family is from Arkansas.
That's
Rising,
so
Arkansas,
bomb.
Pine Bluff, Arkansas, Malvern, Arkansas. Shout out to Arkansas. So in the summers, I would go down south with my grandfather and my grandmother for like 2 or 3 weeks. We would drive down because they had a home down there.
Love
we would
stories
go stay,
like this.
And I would play with my cousins and stuff that lived down there. And shout out to Shell's Chicken. It was this. It was a Shell's gas station in Rising, Arkansas that sold chicken. And when I tell you, it was the to this day, that chicken was fried, I think, in like peanut oil.
Mm.
Oh my God! To this day, I can taste and smell that fried chicken. My great grandmother had like a general store in the town or whatever.
Cute.
And so while we walk, they would walk us by that store and tell us the stories about that. So entrepreneurship and stuff like that, I would learn those lessons really, really,
really early.
And now I recognize at the time when I was a kid, I was hot and I didn't care. I don't care. I'm ready to go in the house.
Right.
I'm going to the house.
I'm going
it's hot
to pool.
Down here. That was a different kind of heat. In
yeah,
Arkansas,
no breeze.
But, you know, now I have so much more of an appreciation for it
because
I get why they were doing that.
Of course. Were you excited to head to Arkansas? Was it a thing where you were like hyped, or was it a thing where you were like,
I was
hyped.
I was hyped because, number one, I knew that meant I was getting new outfits because my mama wasn't going to see me down there looking on me kind of way. Number two, I had cousins that were like my same age and then my peer group down there. So we would get to see each other and play. And I always feel like an adventure walking around the neighborhood and stuff. And then it was a road trip because we didn't fly. My grandfather would drive. And so it was like a 14-hour drive, I think, from Michigan to Arkansas. And those along the way, those places I would see, the big, fireworks places. And
it was
the little tourist attractions, because, of course, we would stop.
Of course. You have kids in the car. Yeah.
That was just a really special time for me. That was a really special time for me. And I have such good memories of that. And first kisses, first lots of things. There was a place in Chatham, Ontario, I think it was, called Wheels Inn, and people would go up there. It was like an indoor like little amusement park and like bowling and go-karts and like a wave pool and all this stuff. And as a preteen or whatever, you know, me and my cousins, we would go up there and our parents would let us go, you know, like we would have freedom to walk around.
Yeah.
And, you know, mixed, mingle, socialize, go behind walls, you know, different things. So it was, you know, it was, I have great memories. Great memories.
What about you, Asante? Did you go somewhere else for summer?
Other neighbors' houses.
That's real. That's
like,
real.
It's funny because when you, well, two things actually first, because dialing back to New Orleans, when I was there for Crystal's birthday, I think, it was so funny. We ate at a, we were eating food because somebody, one of the natives, he was taking us around. He was telling me that a lot of the food was coming from like some of the hole in the wall. So he was taking me around to some of the gas stations where like there were lines out the door. And he was saying, you know, how they'll sell food to a certain time. And I was just like, that is crazy, but beautiful and awesome. So
best food you've ever eaten.
I always hear that about gas station chicken primarily.
Yeah. So when, like, you, when you were telling that story,
you can't,
I was like,
sleep on it.
New Orleans got some great gas station chicken. That's all I got to say about that.
That's so funny.
When, and then dialing back to you, friend, when you were talking about community, when you were playing hide and seek, that took me back to my one of my neighborhoods that I grew up in, where we had like our little crew in the neighborhood and we used to like run around and run shit and just be bad. I loved when we would, first of all, it was like this big complex that just kept revamping because I guess they kept selling because of whatever reason. But they had empty, they would have like empty units. So we would be in and out of the empty units, you know, hiding, setting up shop, like doing all.
What's that called? What is that called when people stay in a
squat
place? That squat, not y'all squat.
like you know, we had like there were some of the units that weren't finished, so we were carving like our names in the back of those units.
Yeah.
So there were so many,
so funny,
so much of what we talked about all tied into this one segment of my life at this apartment complex, and I just think that is so funny. But no, my mom did not send me away, but I can think of neighbors and the childhood friends that I had, and I was just on some of their Facebooks the other day, and I just thought that it was so interesting. I think it's so interesting that today, because the times are so different, you know, everybody's really to themselves and don't really want to be bothered with nobody else. And I think maybe now that I'm looking back, I think maybe my mom was very personable and I take after her, because the fact that she always was able to make a friend, because she just had friends in these places, obviously. And I don't think she was just like, oh, ooh, Mark. Like, I feel like at one of these complexes,
your mom has a great personality.
Yeah, she has a great personality. And I feel like they like she would automatically see people and they would like see her energy and they would like connect instantly. Because every time we moved, there was like a neighbor and it was always good people. Like, my mom did not know, well, to my knowledge, maybe she'd be like, tuh, but like she did not keep bad energy around us. And I thank God for that, because like there were so many times when we would like move to a neighborhood and there would be people around, like she'd be like, all right, you know, there's like a child their age, like, because, you know, she was doing the work. She's like, you know, I've got to go to work, so I have to work out what's gonna happen with my child when I'm not at work. And she always had a plan. I don't know how she was quickly vetting them or what, but thank you, Lord Mother, for everything that you have done for me, because all of those childhood friends and those childhood memories that I have are because of her. Like, she found the right people at the right time. Like, I have a really great fishing memory. Like, my mom, she was friends with this guy in our neighborhood, and he was like, we going fishing. Like, he's like, I got a son, I'm gonna take your son, we all going fishing.
So
he took us fishing, and it was like the first time in like a long time I had been fishing. So it was like one of the first memories I have of fishing for real. And I remember him like taking us, making us cut the fish up, cooking the fish, and like doing everything. He was he said something I should not say on the show, but he was telling us why we need to clean our fish and how to clean our fish. But you know how other people don't be cleaning their fish properly. So he was like, make sure you don't do like other people and you clean properly. And so I just always think about that, those things. Favorite childhood memories.
Awesome. Such awesome memories. My mom would send me to, I had three places I would go to. It would either be Miami, because that's where my mom's older sister, when they left the Caribbean, she stayed in Miami. My mom chose New York. But it was fun because I got to spend summers in Miami. Especially when you're like coming into yourself as a teenager. South Beach. I used to get my little two-piece bathing suit. You couldn't tell me nothing. My little raggedy 15-year-old self. But it was so cute spending summers there, just because that, I think, opened my eyes to just how different people lived. You know, you got to think I'm coming from Carver Projects in Harlem to South Beach with these cars pulling up and just people's lifestyles. It was just kind of like, whoa, this is a different world over here. But then I would also spend summers in the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico, where that's what really showed me the other side as well. Like, I had so much to be thankful for that I wouldn't have known if I didn't have the opportunity to also see my extended family in the Caribbean, because we didn't even have stoves, we didn't have fridges. Mm-hmm. The, you know, you had the outhouse, and mm-hmm. it was just so humbling to know that, like, whatever food we were going to eat that day, we had to go get that day, because we didn't have mm-hmm. a fridge full of food, where even being in the projects and all, my fridge was always full, you know, like, we made mm-hmm. do. And so it was eye-opening in so many different levels mm-hmm. for me to have all those summer experiences and just be, like, in full awareness of how differently people lived mm-hmm. in the world, like, all around the world, whether it was stunting in a Lamborghini in South Beach, you know, in Harlem, or back in DR trying to clean out the outhouse.
Wow, like, man. That kind of stuff really would trip you out, though, yeah. when you notice the differences in the way, because even going to Arkansas, you know, those were very rural, small towns.
Oh, man,
you know what
yes.
I mean? And so it was a different, it was just a different lifestyle. And yeah, I totally understand that.
Yeah.
To the point that you're making now.
Yeah, and it, I think it showed, it taught me a lot of gratitude, because I remember my mom would make me, because you can't go back to the Caribbean and not donate. Like, that's mm-mm. just not an option. We would have barrels and bags. And a lot of times we didn't even really have it to give. Mm-hmm. But my mom was like, you can always give. Like, that was mm-hmm. kind of her mentality with me, that she needed me to have. Like, it don't matter if you have two shirts, you can always give one. And mm-hmm. so I kind of built that habit in. And it was just really, I think, so good for a kid to have that. So that's something, if I do have children, that I would definitely try to instill in some way.
Yeah, you're going to send them to my house for the summer.
Oh, the habits they'd come back with. I'm like, where yeah. you learn that? Uncle Dustin.
Yep, well-adjusted. They come home well-adjusted. That's where we come from.
But
yeah,
I love
I'm
going
to tell you what else I loved in the summertime, though. Mm-hmm. The ice cream, man.
Trust the
ice
softy.
Cream boy. Whatever you want to call it. Now, there was just a couple different ways this thing was going to roll, okay? There was the push cart where you would hear the bells
oh,
and
yes.
you would hear him walking and you would hear the bells as he's walking. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I have never ran faster in my life down some steps, carpeted steps. I can't even tell you how many tumbles I took coming down them steps trying to get outside to catch the ice cream man. Right?
So cute.
Then you had the van, the ice cream van or whatever, where it would play that
still hit my head.
Oh my god.
You know, my block now is a Mr. Softy spot, like a stop.
Really?
Right in front of my building. I'm like so blessed. I tell you, blessed and highly favored.
That thing was good, man. And then you also could have, I don't know if y'all had like the candy house in your neighborhoods. But
yeah.
We had, like, the candy house.
The candy lady. Yeah.
Yes, the candy lady. And she was so mean, but she would always, she took a liking
but
to me for some
reason.
She was
stocked up. It didn't even matter. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She would be so mean to
was
everybody.
Y'all's candy lady secretly running things? Like, was she playing cards with the adults on the side? Oh, was that
know.
Okay?
I don't know.
I was a nosy child. Never mind.
I was straight to the garage where the shelves were and mine in and out.
Candy right. lady must have been gambling or something in my neighborhood. But
low key, I was sneaking going to the candy lady because my mama didn't play that taking stuff out of people's houses or whatever. So
you
I would
didn't
have
know
to
who
sneak
was in
and
there.
Save that money. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel you. My mom too. I don't even know if my mom knew that we had a candy lady. Well, she was just like, okay.
We had a candy lady, mama. I know you listening, girl. we had a candy lady and I went.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the ice cream man, the neighborhood that I lived in, it was like one of those big apartment complex, but it was so randomly placed. Because we were right there by, shout out to Roswell Road. We were right there by like the main road. So when we would hear the walk-in ice cream truck, first of all, the walk-in ice cream man rather, he would sometimes be on the sidewalk by the road. And you know, the rules was when you was a child, you don't leave the complex. So if you got down all them stairs, if you tumbled all the way down the stairs like Dustin, and you realized that he was on the sidewalk, it was a risk at that point. If you was going,
I'm risking it all. I'm risking it all for that Neapolitan.
First of all, it became a system. We risked it every time, and we would make him walk into the complex because sometimes he was just going to walk by. Like sometimes he had already came by, and this is him walking back off his route. And we would be like, you got to, okay, you just walk this way a little bit. I got some more change over here. And like, we would make it walk into the neighborhood. But the problem is he would only get so far in and he still wouldn't get past the gate. So if your parent pulled up and they was pulling into the neighborhood, they would see you. So they would pull up next to you and be like, get back in them gates. You're not supposed to be out here. Your sister ain't out. Like, it was always a
not
thing.
Y'all
that was,
baiting him into the what? Gate. Kids what? Are so funny.
Look,
man.
He was getting that money, and we needed that ice cream. Now for the ice
I
cream
needed
trucks.
That ice cream.
I don't know if you had the big van too, because we had like the standard van that had all the stickers on the outside. But then sometimes there was this like double sided van with like the glass at the top. It was like a weird fancy van.
Y'all
like,
had some fancy luxury candy.
We ain't had that.
Now honestly, it looked really ghetto and bootleg at the time, but it. Like, but thinking back, like it was really classy how like this van had this like glass on the side so you could see in, because I guess when he would come to the side of it, it was like an ice cream stand or whatever, but you could see in where he had like the deviled eggs and the pickles along with the ice cream stuff. What? I don't know if y'all
he must have bought that ice cream truck with a lawsuit, some lawsuit money.
I don't know, but for whatever reason,
he came into some money.
That's a slip. Look,
yeah, he came into some bread and was like, I'm getting a good one.
Because for whatever reason, people loved those bag of pickles, like the pickles would sell out more than the ice cream sometimes, and I was like, wow,
I love some pickles.
I never understood why the pickles were there with the ice cream. I just never
just
did.
Good, you had a cold pickle. You had the hood kids that just love some pickles. I don't know where I got that from either, because it's just so good. The crunch, the bitterness, and then you'd drink a little bit of the juice too, and then throw it. Just a little bit though. You couldn't. Only the kids that were a little
seeds?
Off would drink the whole bag.
That was my next question.
So, what was the candy that you would be getting?
Some
and
snacks.
What was the ice cream?
Oh, from the candy. We can run it. First of all, I can hear that lid opening on the ice cream truck that pushed the freezer lid. I can hear it going woof, when you open it up, like, and when he closes it, I can hear it. But first of all, I love vanilla ice cream sandwiches with that chocolate cookie.
Yes.
There's nothing to this day. I can eat multiple, like in one setting.
Same.
I'll eat like four.
Same.
That's why I don't buy them. But I love those. I also loved the firecracker bomb pops. So the blue, red.
And your
joint.
Mouth be all kinds of colors for the rest of the day.
And that white, the white part was so like, I don't know what
was it lemon
flavor that was. It was just so good.
I feel like it was
but
lemon.
That, I would eat that. And then those ones where it would be like a character like SpongeBob. Not SpongeBob. It's SpongeBob now, but at the time it was like Dumbo.
It was like Cookie Monster or something.
Yeah. With like the gumballs for the eyes.
Yeah,
the eyes.
For me, it was strawberry shortcake. Or the toasted almond one, which was like the almond version of it. Those are my two go-tos. And then I would just get, I went through a banana sundae phase too, where I just wanted banana sundaes with all that ice cream because it was more ice cream. Or I would just get the typical like vanilla in a cone with rainbow sprinkles. That's very New York classic. That was my ice cream order. But then in the candy store, okay, do y'all remember in the penny candy section? It was like a gum that was like peach colored, and it was big bowl, like
big bowl, B-O-I, big boy, whatever. Yes,
big bowl, big boy. I don't know if it
with
was
the
an
letters,
L or I.
Twist.
And you
oh
twist
my God.
It. Oh, you know,
I
was,
can taste
I
that
was
gum
craving
now.
That candy the other day. Do you know they have it by the pound?
Are you kidding
Ooh,
me?
Not
I
by the pound.
Ooh. By the pound. That's so funny. I remember that. And I like
of course,
Boston
and
baked beans.
I love Boston baked beans. Me and my daddy love Boston baked beans.
My mom
to this
we
day.
Are so old because no yeah. other kid would ever go in that section.
Boston baked
lemon
beans
heads.
Are good.
Lemon heads.
Yeah.
Ranch sunflower seeds.
You like, now, did you like it really sour? The Warhammers? Warhead?
No, Warheads. I didn't play in that direction.
I ate Warheads. The white ones was the best one. And Airheads, not Warheads. I'm thinking about Airheads.
Airheads, I don't mind. Laffy Taffy.
I never liked Warheads.
Girl, shut up.
I like the banana one that no one else liked.
What about Mambas? Girl. Y'all had Mambas? Did y'all eat Mambas?
Yeah, I did like a little Mamba, the juicy candy.
What about?
But I was really into the Nihilators.
I love Now Laters.
Now Laters, that was
not Now and Laters. It's Now Laters.
Now
Laters. I love Now Laters. The red ones are only, well, not only, but especially the red ones. The strawberry Now Laters, so good. And then, what about Fruities? Remember Fruities?
The little
like 2-year-old Fruities?
Yes, yeah. I saw those too. You got to write in Penny Candy and all that'll
come
up.
Penny Candy is good.
Okay, you know what ice cream I liked? The Pops. When we were talking about popsicles, there was this like orange and yellow popsicle. I don't know.
The creamsicle.
The creamsicle.
Oh, no. Yeah. Okay, so not the creamsicle. Okay, well, not the creamsicles, but the Flintstones push-ups or push-ups in general used to be good as hell. It was like this pineapple orange like popsicle. It was like orange and yellow. And it was like a standard one. And I think when you were done with it, the popsicle stick was actually like a straw. And so we used to always get it because we'd be like, got our straws like at the end when we was done. And
kids are so easily amused.
So easily amused. So impressed. So creative over the littlest thing. Cause we used to take those straws and like make bracelets with them. Like we was doing everything with them popsicle straws. Like,
and I'm gonna tell you something else. Popsicle sticks taste good. I don't care what nobody says.
They had like a thing to, like an aftertaste.
Yeah, you chew that stick, you chew that wood, mm-hmm. you chew it till it's flat and it's spread out like this.
That toxic wood.
That's so good.
Ever now you're saying the wood. Remember the Italian ices that you would have to
scrape
with the wood?
Yes,
those spoons.
Yes, little Italian ice.
The cherry, and sometimes it would be double. It'd be cherry and
lemon.
Lemon, that's what it was.
Oh my God, to this day,
okay,
I
but
would love to have some of that.
A real snow cone, not the one off the ice cream truck, but like a real snow cone. Like when the ice is like actually frosty and soft.
Shout out to New Orleans because
we kind of had those. We called them piragua. You know, you've seen them.
Yeah.
Where it's the big block of ice and they'd scrape it and then put the syrup, whatever flavor.
Mm-hmm.
We call it either raspado or piragua where I was in East Harlem.
You know, shout out to New York because one thing I do love is seeing the ladies with the carts. Hey, fellas, if you're out there with the carts, I'll be seeing y'all. But the ladies with the carts, you know, because I always stop and give
mango,
me a good little mango.
Right? With the tagine.
And I'm
the spices.
Look, friend, here's where I bond with you. I get all the stuff on the mango now. I'll be like, put it all in the bag. Yes, more.
I got some a couple days ago, actually. I was walking and the lady had the cart and I got canepas. Have y'all seen the canepas? It's mm-hmm, like the green mm-hmm. ones and you crack it open and it's like a yellow thing inside that you suck on. Mm-hmm. They had canepas. I got some mango. And then they have churros usually in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. When
them
it's like colder.
Be so good.
Oh, yes. They're so good, y'all.
And don't let me find that corn. Don't let me roll up on that street
elote.
Corn.
Oh, with the cheese corn. And the, oh, yes. I love me some Mexican
corn. Oh, my God. And the thing about it is you immediately got to find you some dental floss, some wipes,
because it gets
some everything.
Up in there.
You really need to take a shower, really, after, you know what I'm saying?
If you ate it right.
You know, but like, for real.
Yo, did y'all ever carry around lunch boxes when y'all were younger, or did you?
Yeah.
Like,
yes, I had Gem. I had the Gem.
I had all of them. G.I. Joe, Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
Stop
I had
it.
All of them. Yeah. Rescue and with Rangers. The thermos, it would come with the thermos on the inside.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah.
I had Gem, and I had y'all remember Strawberry Shortcake?
Oh, of course.
Mm-hmm. I had a fascination with her, so I had a lot of Strawberry Shortcake stuff. I had like the lunchbox, the book bag, the notebooks, the blanket, you name it, the bed sheets. That was
Strawberry
my girl.
Shortcake.
I was a Power Ranger. It was Power Rangers everything. I was all Black Ranger. All the other kids was running around talking about they was the Red Ranger. I was the Black Ranger. Like, and I was not mad about it. But I love.
Well, my lunchbox was more like a school year thing for me. That wasn't really like a summertime thing for me because in the summertime.
Yeah,
baby,
no, you needed that all year long.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I had a. my mom hated me now that I'm thinking about it because I had a tin box for summer because. The winter one, or like in winter time and all that, I needed like the insulated one. So I always kept like different types of lunch boxes. But I was going to ask, did you have a particular style you like? Because I hated the tin lunch box, but I needed the 10 lunchbox.
I don't think I had the 10. I think I had the regular plastic joint that was just plastic and square. And then I know now, like, parents get the more fabric one with the zipper. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the one parents get now because I'm sure it's easier for spills and stuff. But we had the regular old plastic one that would snap, and then you'd snap it open with the plastic thermos, the whole set.
I hate it when my mama would give me hot soup in my thermos. That used to really make me, it used to really grind me. Like, it used to burn me. I used to be like, ooh, why is she making me eat this at school? I hated that.
Wait, what would your moms put in your lunchbox? Do you remember the main things that they would pack?
A sandwich, an apple, some chips, a side, so like chips or whatever. And
like
then
a little teeny
sweet.
Bag of chips.
Yeah. Chips, an apple, a sandwich, something sweet. You know what I'm saying? Might be two different kinds of chips. Now, if my sister, my older sister, packed my lunch,
it would be lit or it would be bad.
Lit. Lit. Do you hear me? First of all, the bag was bigger, all sorts of candy. You know, good food, good gourmet sandwich.
Sisters.
Like, she used
Come
to hook
on.
Me up. I love you. I love my sister. She used to hook me up.
That
for
is so
real.
Cute.
Like, yeah.
My favorite thing that I needed in my lunchbox was the, what was it called? The string cheese that you would like
pull apart.
Yeah. What was it called? Polio? Why do I want to call it polio?
I feel like
they probably make one.
Polio
string cheese or something like that. I don't know why that's what I want to call it, but that's the one I had to have. Like, my mom knew. I got to get this little girl her string cheese. Of course, it'd be fruit and a little bag of chips. I loved salt and vinegar chips. Just nasty when you think
very
about
mature,
it.
Very mature, friend.
Very, very mature. I love savory chips.
I was in the hot fries. The little hot fries.
Handicapped hot fries. Oh, man. Hot fries. Now, I never liked spicy stuff, but I have a soft spot for hot fries because everybody else liked them. Love and they remind me of childhood. Handicapped hot fries. Yep.
How
what
cute.
About, what about a Funyun or two?
Oh, okay. Love
I,
the
Funyun. I still love a Funyun.
Yeah, still love
okay.
And look, and look, they done made the Funyuns hot in my adulthood, so I rock with Funyuns even harder now. One of my favorite things about my lunch when I was younger, though, is I had to, at a certain age, I had to make my own lunch. So I got to literally, and how your sister used to make your gourmet sandwiches, my sister used to put out the big bread for me. She used to be like, all right, this is what you're going to put your sandwiches on. And so because it was the big bread, I felt like I always needed to go all out. And so I was usually an early riser because I liked to, well, I was not good at getting up. But once I was up, I had a whole little schedule. I was like, I need to watch my shows and stuff since I'm up anyway because I need to be in a good mood if I'm going to get on this bus. Like, but I was
not
making my
shows.
Sandwiches in the morning. Yeah, I used to have like a little morning show. It was on one of the super stations. I loved making those sandwiches because she would always put out like a sauce or something for me. It was never a mayo. It was always like something extra. She was like, here go a sweet mustard. You know, this is going to be good with your ham. Like, my sister was like really teaching me when I was younger to like do stuff. So I would pull out my sandwiches in the cafeteria. And some of them people, I went to a predominantly Caucasian school when I was younger. They were looking at me kind of like, you know, where did you get your lunch? And I'm looking at them like, like, I'm surprised you ain't eating good the way you roll up in here. But, you know, the lunchtime was like one of the times I really got to shine when I was younger. And I still shine
How
today.
How cute. Yes. Oh, this is such, I could talk about summer nostalgia forever. What about when school was ending and like you weren't going to see most of your friends for like the whole summer? Would you guys get all sad? Remember you'd be crying and hugging and giving each other cards and little bears and gifts and stuff.
Yearbook time.
Oh,
you felt like that, you know. And then I always wanted to have some sort of big change, like when I came back from school.
Yes, me
I came
too.
Back to school. I wanted to look different or have something new, or, you know, I just wanted to, I don't know, it just felt like transitional.
It did.
Because it was.
Especially the more like middle school to high school, kind of in that range. I know for me, that's actually how I pierced my nose. It was it was just the cutest thing ever. It was the summer before I was going to start high school. I was 14 and I was like, Mom, I really want to pierce my nose. And my mom was super cool because she was like, give me one good reason why I should let a 14-year-old have a nose piercing. And I told her, I was like, it's not because I want to be cool. I was like, I just, something about it feels like it's me. Like, I feel like I'm coming into my personal style. And it just, and I was showing her like old school cultural pictures, just like where we would have piercings. It was very smart of me. I had like a whole PowerPoint presentation.
Okay.
And yeah, she was so, yeah, she was like, you know what? If you really feel like it's something that's calling you, then fair. But if you're doing it to try to be like a cool ninth grader, she's like, I'm not having it. And then I did it. I got my nose ring, and I remember it was such a big deal. Like in ninth grade, everybody was like, oh, snap. Here I came. Then the next year, I dyed my hair like a little piece blonde in the front, yep. Kind of like Remy Ma used to have the
front. Yeah.
I had these blonde chunks in the front. Every year, I would reinvent myself. Claude will tell you, my best friend from high school, he'll be like, Fran always came back to school with something different, whether it was hair was straight, or one summer, I switched it up where I was a tomboy my whole life, and then I decided that I want to start wearing tight jeans and crop tops and heels, and like I came to school, you know, kind of more like playing in that energy, and all the boys was like, what?
Your milkshake brought him to the yard. Okay.
They was like, yo, you look different. Ooh. I was like, I do. What's up?
Look, and you don't.
But it's cute. It is cute. Like all the changes you go through as you're growing up and kind of like coming into your little style, your little outfits start changing. Do you feel like your style changed a lot in high school? Like especially within that 4-year frame?
What? Not a lot, because I just wanted like the hot stuff. You know what I'm saying? Right. So like just whatever cool was dope, clothes. Like that's what I wanted. And you know, my parents, thankfully, they kind of supported me in that. So like, I never had like they would give me the clothes, you know what I'm saying?
I hear that.
You know, but yeah. So, and I was grateful for that, because that was a huge part of like my identity, because we didn't celebrate holidays,
right?
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I didn't get the birthday parties and the Christmases and all that stuff. So you better believe. Where my clothes at? You know what I'm saying? Like, where my clothes at? You better believe. Like, that's what I wanted to know. So it was just so important to me, you know. And I just have such fond memories of like the trends, the summer trends, like the girls with the wide herringbone ankle bracelets on.
And then
the tennis. Did you wear like tennis skirts? I remember like for a long time the girls was wearing tennis skirts.
That was a look with, for like, us. You know, very like clueless. Right.
And then like for us, for the boys, I remember like in the summertime, again, it was just all about like shorts, like the swimming trunks, you know.
Yeah.
But it was like the shorts with the t-shirts, the matching sneakers, you know. Fine memories.
And all the
summer.
Different brands, like when you was trying to be cool and be down, you know? Like, we could say old school brands, like Jerbo. Remember Jerbo?
Oh, yes.
Like, when you really just thought you was just so cool.
What? Don't play with me.
Parasuco. Well, remember the jeans with the lines on the stripes? The stripes.
Not only
on the
Parasuco. What was some other jeans
Helly
called?
Helly Hansen.
Evisu jeans. Yeah. Yes.
Eniche.
Averick jackets.
Mecca.
Oh my God.
You
like,
remember Mecca?
Yes.
I was a Mecca head. I always had the Mecca sweatshirts, t-shirts, jeans, like you name it. For some reason, that was the brand I was drawn to the
Mecca
most.
Was dope.
Mecca was so dope.
What was the it's on the tip of my tongue too. It wasn't Rocawear. It was one of them brands like Rocawear and Eniche, and it's on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, that one. Academics.
Academics.
Woo!
Oh, my God. And 10 Deep. Remember, like, 10 Deep?
Ooh. And then what about watching the videos? Like, what about watching, like, you know, the video countdown shows and stuff? And
yeah, we have Video Music Box to kind of... That's how Aaliyah really, I think, influenced my style the most. Because I was already in that world, like, that tomboy look. But she kind of like showed you how to do it in like a real swaggy way. That, you know, I learned a lot from her mainly. I can't even lie. Even when I was younger, J-Lo would influence us a lot too. Like when she came out with the Manolo Blahnik Timbs. All of us had the fake ones that we went and got from Rainbow. I would steady try to recreate all of their outfits from music videos where you can mimic the trends. But obviously I didn't have money to like get the real stuff. So I would have all the outfits that Lee had and J-Lo and everybody.
I was obsessed with Bad Boy. So like that whole New York
Mary J.
the wraparound shades, the Oakleys that wrapped around, you know what I'm saying? The motorcycle, the racing motorcycle, like BMX shirts, yes. The Fox Racing shirts, the camouflage pants, like all of that stuff, mm-hmm. All of that stuff was like, it was such a vibe for me. And I really always felt connected to that. I can remember growing up and seeing the Mobb Deep video for Shook Ones or whatever, when they have on those jerseys that said, like, you know what those jerseys mm-hmm, said.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that and literally feeling like, oh my God, like this is the most, like this is it. I remember feeling like that. So just I just mimicking those music video trends of East Coast artists and even some West Coast artists. You know, I remember seeing Snoop and them wearing the Dickies, you know, with the white T-shirts.
Oh,
and
that I was still want a proper Dickies suit to this day.
Yeah. You know, so
and
that,
shout out
that
to
was
our parents, honestly, in a lot of ways, and all the parents listening and new parents, old parents that supported you kind of playing around with your identity and shifting into different looks and trying different things. Because I remember even having the piercing or dyeing my hair at 14 was like a big deal.
That's huge.
Huge at that age and at that time. And I'm so grateful that I'll give it to my mom. She was like strict, but still loose where I feel she mm-hmm. needed to be for me and my growth. Like she let me mm-hmm. go to the club. Like teen night. Yeah, like she was teen night, you know, have fun, live your life. I want you to, because she wanted me to not be so sheltered so that I could have mm-hmm. those smarts and know how to navigate like interpersonal mm-hmm. dynamics, especially with strangers going out, living in New York. Because she knew once I was going to go to college, if I didn't have those smarts already instilled, how do you figure that out? And that's why everybody usually wilds out in college, because they didn't have that already. This was like their first opportunity at freedom and they don't know what to do with it.
My older brother and older sister was like, they were cool. I'll put it like that. So like, they went to college. They drove nice cars.
Yes.
They went to like festivals, you know, the summer festival. You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. They would go down to that in Atlanta. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I saw that, you know what I'm saying? I saw my parents letting them, because they were living at home at the time, you know, after they had finished school or whatever. And I saw my parents allowing them to go, you know, to the clubs and stuff.
Yeah.
And I knew. I was like, when it's my turn, I wish they would try to stop me. So, like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I always had that sort of, like, I love that. I did go to teen clubs. I did. There was a skating rink.
Here too,
CLC
Skate
Teen
Key.
Express.
It's called Skate Key here.
CLC Teen Express, and you would skate from 8 to 10, and then you would dance on the skating rink from 10 to 12. And that was like, we had outfits for that. We would go to the mall on Saturday and get something to wear. I can remember, this is how bad it was, y'all. I can remember me and the Grant Hill sneakers had came out, right?
Me
and my cousin Andre, we got them Grant Hills, and we had these Drew Bledsoe New England Patriots football jerseys to go with them. Because the shoes is like, you know, white with navy and red, mm-hmm. and you know, the jersey. When I tell you, we were so dumb, we slept in the, we knew we were going the next day to, we were going the next day to CLC. We slept in the bed with the sneakers and the jerseys like laid out.
Yeah, we all did that.
The clothes laid out and got up that next day and could not wait to put that on. Do you hear me?
First day of school vibes. Remember you'd have the outfit ironed out, planned down to the socks.
ready.
Now, what about music? Mm-hmm. What's the music that you could remember being really into? Definitely, especially the summers, because that's usually when the summer hits would hit. You know what I mean? Top of the charts. What do you remember being the songs that impacted you the most?
No Limit Soldiers by TRU. Which was
really?
I love No Limit Soldiers. I can remember, this is awful, so I probably shouldn't tell that story. But I can remember driving my mother and father's car, you know, when they may not have known. And we were blasting No Limit Soldiers as we drove around the neighborhood. And I'll never forget how exhilarating that felt. So that is one song I can remember it as clear as day. Driving that car and blasting that music. And all my neighborhood friends being like, oh my God, they driving. I can remember that, like, and that song being loud. So that's it.
How cute. What about you, Asante? What songs hit different?
Ooh, I'm trying to think hard because I can't share an artist whose song I want to share because of where I'm from and what they're in right now. But who I will say, because you know I'm from the South and they're just so...
Trap music.
Yes. And I just have so many fond memories of the radio stations, which change all of the time. I am trying to find my way out of here. Ooh, I don't know why, but Gucci Mane will always be a staple just because...
Yeah, I
will always remember like the wave of all the tees, like the black tee, the white tee, niggas coming out with the random remixes, like the hood niggas coming out with the red tee remix. And like, I just remember it being like a summer of tees. I just think it was crazy that all of these like different neighborhoods that were like local to me were coming out with records at the time. Like I was buying mixtapes from the local mixtape man. And he would have like all these artists that were local. Like before it used to be like, you know, Jay-Z and all the Northern stuff. But to see such a larger presence in hip hop, like local underground hip hop, like coming up for me, it was so crazy. But
I remember discovering down South hip rap music and the way that the beats made me feel and the cadences that the artists would rap with and like just the bass lines and the feeling, the mood that that music had. I connected to it immediately.
Me too.
Immediately. Lil Scrappy, Trillville, all of those artists.
Oh,
I remember that.
I
remember that. Mm-hmm. I remember the first time I heard Icy by Gucci Mane. I thought I was like, I'm like, is this real? Like,
yeah.
I loved Down South music, and it was so different from what music sounded like up north. I grew up in Michigan, so we were very much connected to like East Coast rap artists and that sound.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But
yeah.
that Down South, the rhythms and the production and this, I loved it. And to this day, I still, y'all know what I listen to.
Hell yeah. It was such a departure too. Like growing up, I remember the South having fun because I grew up on those So Def mixtapes. But then I remember like the prominent artists being like Outkast, and you know, like every time Andre hit in the track, it's something serious, like, you know, whether it be the subject matter or the wordplay. And I just love that. So to go from, you know, Freaknik mixtapes to these popular artists like Outkast to then all these underground artists breaking mainstream, like Lil Scrappy did do, like Young Jock ended up doing, like people were like, oh yeah, that's my cousin. And speaking of that's my cousin, this girl that I went to like elementary or middle school, she used to lie and say that Master P, she was like cousins with him, and that she was in one of the No Limit videos. And I was just like, what? And I believed it for the longest, but then there was like a year where I was like, no, she's lying, like this is crazy. But I did believe that for a very long time. But yeah, just seeing how like local music can be mainstream, like for me, I was in Atlanta and I wasn't really like taking into account that we had a scene or didn't have as strong as a scene at the time or any of that. I just was realizing, I was like, you know, I'm from a place that has a presence and this is dope. And like, I'm going to get into all the people around. And then to see so many of those people still be here today, you know, it's like the craziest thing. So everything Atlanta has shaped me, but y'all know I talk all the time about how I listen to alternative music. But when I think of summertime specifically, I think about all those like little festivals that used to happen, whether it be like the boy band festival or, you know, some of them festivals that would just take boy bands or pop artists because, you know, that's what the money was. So like seeing like I randomly, and y'all know I'm team NSYNC if I had to choose anyway, but I remember going to see like Backstreet Boys on tour one year and I was like, yay, Backstreet Boys are here. But I really wish that NSYNC was there. But yeah, summertime concerts like that, pop music really shaped me as a child. But definitely my roots are always in hip hop and rap and R&B for real, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's similar for me because my summers, you had the Z100 playlist where it was like Green Day and Bush and Beck.
Third Eye Blind.
I mean, countless artists. But then the
June's Diary.
No, you didn't. But then you had the neo soul impact too. I remember that feeling of like Groove Theory and Erykah Badu, Maxwell, D'Angelo, Tribe. Like, but then it was also the New York playlist, like DJ Clue and DJ Drama, when they would drop their mixtapes and it would be all the hits of that summer, like whatever Jay-Z dropped and Beyonce and Destiny's Child. And it was like so exciting to know what songs were going to make it, and then just having every hit song from the summer on that. But then there was also the Reggae Gold mixtapes. Yeah, I remember those.
Oh, my God.
It was like the different numbers, and it'd always be a beautiful island woman on the cover. Yeah, like reggae. Remember go Caribbean 10. Rhythms? Yeah, and it would be like all the Sean Paul hits of the summer and then all new stuff that you might not be privy to from the Caribbean. Like,
yeah.
So it was like, I feel like I just had such a well-rounded, just immersed selection. In really yeah. good music because I got to really experience something from every little pocket of New York and every genre, which I think was the best way to grow up. Because New York,
priceless.
But yeah, New York's such a melting pot, and not only culturally, but it's going to spill over into the music that you get access to. Even just growing up in New York, hearing the music people are playing coming out of their houses, you know, you're going to pass all kinds of different neighborhoods and be exposed yeah. to all kinds of different music that you're like, whoa, what is that?
Yo, what kind I kid of music you is not. That? You know, I've lived in this neighborhood for like a year now. And mm-hmm. the other day I went over, literally one block over. And I guess it was like the first time I've been in the broad day in the dead of heat. Because it was when the Amber Alert went out telling everybody to turn their power down or whatever.
Energy, yeah.
So everybody and their mama was outside on the block blasting the tunes. And I just thought to myself how cool, well, I thought it could have been annoying, but I thought how cool this is to somebody, how their neighborhood is blasting this. Because one of the things that I loved when I was younger, it was like a car would roll by booming. And shout out to one of my best friends, EJ. When I was younger, his dad used to always be booming down the block. It was just nothing like hearing that like, that the cultural that heart rattle, but the fact that it was like it was a cultural yell at the time, so it's like you staking your claim of your neighborhood. So to hear mm-hmm. when people in their neighborhoods and they blasting their Dominican music, you know, and they doing their dances on the side of the walk, they doing their dances on the sidewalk, like I just think it's beautiful that everybody gets to have these experiences. And so I know there are children that walk by and they're like, why is this so hype? And then later on they grow up and they're like, why is this so hype? And then later on they're like,
kids need
this
to take their
so
behinds
hype.
Outside in the summer.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, man.
They have
go
to have
play
outside
again.
To lead them experiences. Go outside, get some sun on your back and on your face.
Come back sweaty.
And engage with your neighbors and play. Like
yes, make friends. That's how you develop mm-hmm. so many, I think, mental, emotional, spiritual skills too. You know, mm-hmm. just being around other kids that you have to figure out how to get along with or fight.
You parents, y'all need to stop being lazy and create these communities for your children. Things are different now. So the neighborhood component that we're speaking of, so
more effort has to be made at this
yeah,
point. Yeah, it is
you
a
have
different
to.
Situation.
You can create, get you a parent group together, you know what I mean, where y'all have that, create that space for your kids so that they have those experiences. I just think it's important because these memories that we have that we so fondly discuss,
man. Priceless.
Yeah, like I can still feel that joy that I felt in those times. I can still feel how much fun it was to run outside. I can still feel how much fun it was to take a magnifying glass, God rest my grandmother's soul, to take a magnifying glass at my grandmother's house and go outside and burn leaves forgive me, but bugs too, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and putting lightning bugs in mason jars and which yeah. is so terrible to do, but at the time you were just excited. Yeah, and
yes,
I love that we have
that.
Like you said, we have the access to these memories, the smells. You can smell everything. You
yes,
can still hear it. You can taste it. Just so awesome. So I think this is perfect. This is a perfect summer nostalgia episode. Once again, thank you to Target for this bonus episode. We hope those of you listening enjoyed it because we enjoyed making it. This was so
yes,
fun. I love accessing those feelings because it just makes me all giggly and childlike again.
Tap in. Tap, 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 tap.
As always, we love you guys so much. Thank you guys for listening and we will catch you next week.
Stay black and protect your magic.
Bye.